Some profitable Fortune 500 companies are not paying a whole lot in state and local taxes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A new study out today shows some of the nation's biggest corporations haven't been paying much in state and local taxes. The study's authors include a couple of nonprofit organizations that are pushing for a more progressive tax code. Matt Gardner is executive director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. He's with us now to talk about this from Washington. Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are these big companies avoiding state and local taxes? What are they doing to get out of it?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is that state lawmakers, of course, are enacting tax breaks. But really, the pernicious thing we're finding here is that big companies are finding ways to create their own tax loopholes. Put another way, lawmakers aren't doing this. The companies are doing it for themselves.
The companies are doing it for themselves. Do they have sort of like a direct line to the state capitals, though?
Oh, absolutely. We know that state lawmakers, who obviously are interested in creating jobs, have been enacting a lot of pretty poorly thought-out tax breaks to try to create them.
Now, these are companies, though, as you say, the lawmakers want these companies to create jobs, and they are indeed big economic drivers for these communities and these states. So, I mean, what do you say?
Well, yes, absolutely, lawmakers should be concerned with creating a good economic development climate. But cutting corporate taxes at the state level is a really inefficient way of doing this. If you're going to cut corporate taxes, you either have to cut education spending to pay for it or hike taxes on everybody else. And it's not at all clear, when you think about it that way, that this helps anybody.
Matt Gardner, executive director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Matt, thanks.
All right.
Let's do the numbers. All right. Markets are down right now, anywhere from, a tenth of a percent for the Dow to about 0.5% for the Nasdaq. The Dow is off 8 points at 12,142. Department store JCPenney said it's buying about a 16% stake in Martha Stewart Living OmniMedia, and the retailer will build mini Martha Stewart shops inside of those Penney stores. GOP presidential hopeful Newt Gingrich's campaign is under a mountain of debt, having spent a lot of early money on things such as luxury jets. That's according to today's Washington Post. Now, catching up may be hard because even though Gingrich's poll numbers are surging, campaign contributions are not. But up to now, it hasn't really mattered. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
At the end of September, the Gingrich campaign was $1 million in debt. Still, Gingrich has been a national politician for 2 decades.
In a strange way, he doesn't need quite as much money as those who have been busy raising it and spending it for months now.
Presidential historian Stephen Hess at Brookings says money isn't as important for someone with name recognition like Gingrich.
Strange things are happening, including the fact that candidates got this far by simply participating in debate after debate, which costs them virtually nothing.
But with Iowa voting just a month away, Gingrich's late start could become a liability. Political scientist Jack Pitney is at Claremont McKenna College.
The question is whether Gingrich can assemble a combination of professionals and volunteers that can deliver results on caucus night.
Pitney expects Gingrich donations to start rolling in, but he says Wall Street favors Mitt Romney, so a lot of the cash will come from lobbyists on Washington's K Street, Gingrich's home since he resigned as Speaker of the House. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Just ahead of a big summit later this week in Europe, U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner today said he feels good about progress being made to tackle the huge debt crisis there and to save the euro. Known causes of that crisis include excessive debt and uncontrolled public spending, but some of the roots of those economic woes can be traced all the way back to Adolf Hitler. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
If you're looking for someone to blame for the Eurozone debt crisis, you could start with this man. It was after the death and destruction caused by Hitler and his regime in the 1940s that Europe set off down the path that led to the common currency. Economist Andrew Hilton.
We wouldn't have had the euro had it not been for the experience of the Second World War and the determination of a generation of European leaders immediately after the war to make sure it didn't happen again.
For 40 years after the war, West Germany forged an ever closer political and economic union with its neighbours, eliminating trade barriers, harmonising regulations. Largely to atone for the horrors that Hitler had unleashed, the Germans submerged themselves in Europe. But then in 1989 came a thrilling but destabilising event.
One man's just come through, raised his arms in the air and declared, "I've made it."
The fall of the Berlin Wall posed a dilemma, the prospect of West Germany reuniting with its eastern territory. Jan Randolph is with IHS Global Insight.
That would not only bulk up Germany economically, it would also make Germany a political power again, a more assertive, self-interested political power.
And that rang alarm bells most loudly in France, which had been a major target for Hitler's aggression. Charles Grant of the Centre for European Reform says the French insisted the Germans bind themselves even more tightly to their European partners.
The French said, sure, you can be reunified, but let's make quite certain you're going to agree to give up the Deutschmark and take part in a common currency, aren't you? And the Germans, with some reluctance, said yes.
Hitler's baleful effect can be seen everywhere in this story. Because of his legacy, it could be argued, the Germans have dithered during the current crisis, reluctant to play a dominant, decisive role. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, 'tis the season for Salvation Army bell ringers at shopping centres all over the place. At one of those so-called red kettles in Spokane, Washington, someone dropped a special gift wrapped in a dollar bill, a diamond ring worth about $5,000. Volunteers in Spokane also found a piece of silver dropped in one of those kettles as well. The coin is worth at least $30, was wrapped in a note that said the anonymous donor is out of work, losing a house to foreclosure, and about to file for bankruptcy. But, the note says, there are families in worse shape. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
From Bling Bling to Warren Buffett, we are kind of obsessed with the rich.
I don't think our tax system is very equitable. And I think it drifted dramatically, you know, in the last 10 years toward favoring rich guys like me. So I pay a lower tax rate on much of my income than my cleaning lady does.
I'm Kai Rizdahl as Congress debates the payroll tax cut. How rich is rich? Gallup explains next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.